Morning, church. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword, as it is written? For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I started teaching school several years ago, one of the things that I was sure that I had in my classroom was a classroom library with some books that I could read to the students every day and that the students could read during certain times of the day also. And so I would go to thrift stores and take different opportunities to get used books when possible. But I also came into the classroom with new books, really that people had bought for me as gifts to help me get started. And two of those books were by Shel Silverstein, Where the Sidewalk Ends and The Giving Tree. He is a creative writer with just a variety of types and genres and styles of writing that he presents to the world. And one of his poems has caught my attention, and it reads like this. Last night while I lay thinking, some what-ifs crawled inside my ear and pranced and partied all night long and sang their same old what-if song. What if I'm dumb in school? What if they've closed the swimming pool? What if I get beat up? What if there's poison in my cup? What if I start to cry? What if I get sick and die? What if I flunk that test? What if green hair grows on my chest? What if nobody likes me? What if a bolt of lightning strikes me? What if I don't grow taller? What if my head starts growing smaller? What if the fish won't bite? What if the wind tears up my kite? What if they start a war? What if my parents get divorced? What if the bus is late? What if my teeth don't grow in straight? What if I tear my pants? What if I never learn to dance? Everything seems well. And then the nighttime what-ifs strike again. I mean, can you relate? Have you ever stayed up late thinking about something or woken up in the middle of the night with something on your mind? Maybe it keeps you up for a while. Or maybe you just finally decide there's no point in staying in bed because you just can't get back to sleep. Maybe it's a worry or a fear. Or maybe even something new and exciting that is about to happen. I thought of this poem when I was reading the scripture for today. I mean, Paul gives his own what-ifs. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. What I discovered about Paul, though, is that none of this list that he has, they weren't what-ifs. But for him, they were reality. It's what had happened to him in his life. For Paul, it's not as much a list of things as it is a personal testimony. These were realities that he had experienced in his life, and not really in the entirety of his life either, but in this time of his life after he had become a follower of Jesus because of the fact that he had become a follower of Jesus. There can be this perception out there that everything is good and perfect after you become a believer and follower. But that's definitely not the case, and Paul knew that all too well. For in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul gives a list. I mean, it's really like a resume of persecutions that he had experienced in his life. He was beaten, flogged, he had stones thrown at him, he was shipwrecked 3 times. He says, I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked." I mean, Paul is very open and honest about the fact that these sorts of things, they're going to happen. But also in the midst of it, I mean, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of his testimony. For he proclaims that they do not have power over God. And so they cannot separate a person from the love of God, from God himself. In the Gospels, we read about, we come to know about the good news through Jesus and his life, through his stories and his miracles, through parables, through his interactions with people. In the book of Romans, this good news is not shared about Paul's life, about specific stories going on in his life, but Paul sharing theology and truths that he has come to know. And here's what he's come to know. He has this assurance and confidence, even in the midst of, because of his faith in Jesus. He does not place his faith in circumstances, in the hardships, in the what ifs, but in the surety of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. A few verses earlier in Romans 8:31, it says, "What then? What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" I mean, not only is God still with us, and that's been the sermon series we've been in the midst of since Christmas, coming to this day in the completion of this sermon series, not only is God still with us, but God is for us. I mean, we are victorious no matter what is going on in life, no matter what the what if may be, because we have victory through the one who loves us. Reading through the scripture and studying it and meditating upon it got me thinking about the armor of God as it's told about in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And we are directed in that passage to be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power, because God does not expect us to be strong in our own power, or to fight the battles on our own. He does the fighting for us, and so we are victorious. So we put on that armor, right? We put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, our feet, we get them fitted with readiness for the gospel of peace. We put on that shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is, he states, the word of God. I mean, God's got us. He's for us. We will be victorious through the trials and the tribulations with the one who loves us, through the love itself. For it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and nobody and nothing can separate us from that love, can separate you from the love of Jesus. Separation. Oh, this has been a season of separation. We've had to be away from loved ones on some level or another. I know I've seen my parents every 2 to 3 weeks during this pandemic, traveling down to their home and having some outdoor time together. But I've not hugged them for almost a year now. I've been able to visit my grandma at her assisted living for a 45-minute time period in this room up close to the entrance. Again, no touching. Last week, we went on a college campus tour, and I was glad that outside and inside the college campus, they had us wearing masks and all the protocols that they were following. And as we entered into the cafeteria, I noticed one of their protocols that they practice. And on each table in the cafeteria, right down the middle of the table, is a piece of plexiglass. Yes, you can sit with your friend to have a meal, but you will be separated by that piece of plexiglass. I mean, so there's just image of separation all around us. But nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God. Black History Month gives an intentional opportunity to look at the lives of the past and the present of black people in our community and in our world. And we've been reading, Faith and I have been reading about Rosa Parks and about Harriet Tubman and about Mae Jemison. And I was thinking back to the separation that they experienced in their lives. Separation from white people, from experiences in life, from equality, from job opportunities. When I think back to the slaves and the separation they experienced from the trials and tribulations, from the brutality of working long days with little or no pay, being beaten and raped and treated with no respect. And then when the missionaries did come in town to convert them to Christianity, they did it with the slave Bible, which is not the Bible in totality, because they certainly did not want them reading about how the Egyptians got freed from slavery, or not the Egyptians, the Israelites got freed from slavery in Egypt and went into the promised land. They didn't want them reading about how Jesus came to set people free, that there would be no more Jew or Gentile, slave or free. But thankfully, not even that horrendous treatment could keep them from knowing God was with them and that he loved them and they could be victorious. God forgive us. I was reading some of the spirituals this week, the music that they sang, and realized those songs, they were part of the slaves of putting on the armor so that they could get through one more day, so they could remain hopeful in the midst of hopelessness. Maybe you find yourself in that place today, in a place in the midst of hopelessness, whether it's a trial or a tribulation, trouble, famine, danger that you are experiencing right now, places of separation. Does it have to do with COVID or maybe another medical issue going on in your life right now? Is your marriage falling apart or the job stability questionable? Maybe a child has gone astray or the temptation of that sin has you shackled. Not feeling as though you have any worth or value. But here is what I have to say to you today. You are loved and you belong to God. You do not belong to the circumstance, to the trial, to the tribulation, to the sickness. You belong to God. So I say to you today, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those are not just words. I mean, those words, those are Paul's testimony. And they're my testimony. And I pray they are, or that they will become, your testimony. So let me pray this prayer upon you in this blessing today. O Lord, may these words, the truth of who you are, that you are God, may that truth sink down into every pore in the being of those that are listening. Let it sink down into their heads and into their hearts. For Lord, you have claimed them, and they are yours. You love them. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen. Oh, I do pray that it is well with your soul, because you are convinced, as Paul has been convinced, as I have been convinced, may you be convinced that nothing in all of life can separate you from God. For God's love was supremely, it was just perfectly demonstrated for us, for you and for me and for the world through Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you, for me, for the world. So may we go from this time of worship knowing and being convinced of that truth, having that assurance and that confidence that Paul had, that we are loved. And so living into that love, therefore living that love out in our lives, may we share that love, may we offer that love in a way so that all people will know that there is no trouble, no hardship, nothing in their life that could keep them from being loved by God. There's nothing they could do that would keep God from loving them. So may we all go from this place knowing that God is still with us yesterday, today, and forever. Go in his grace, his peace, in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.